The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We're back on Get Up, and before we start up a new hour, let's run the bases through some of baseball from yesterday. Aaron Judge bailing out the Yankees with a go-ahead three-run homer in the top of the ninth. Bombers beat the Orioles 8-6. The Yankees' 18th straight win over Baltimore, their 17th straight at Camden Yards. Elsewhere, Indian starter Shane Bieber continuing his early season dominance, striking out 13 over 8 scoreless. Tribe over the Twins 2-0. Bieber has 27 strikeouts over his first two starts of the season. That matches the baseball record set by Carl Spooner of the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1954. And the Angels have placed Mike Trout on paternity leave. He will continue his Tier 1 testing while away, meaning he can return to the team without quarantining if all of his tests are negative. The limit for a stint on the paternity list is 3 days. And with that in mind, as we begin a new hour here, just about 10 o'clock in the morning in the East, Mike Greenberg with you for Get Up, and look who's ready to go. Jalen and Jacoby are here. And Jalen, you're on this morning despite my protestation, because the way they played Zion last night frustrated me enormously. We have to continue to lobby over this suit bet, Jalen Rose.
I tried to tell you and Jay Williams at the beginning of the season, Zion is going to be a transcendent talent. But coming off of high school, in summer league, in college, he's going to be low managed the entire season, so the Pelicans won't make the playoffs. I tried to tell you guys, remember when Ja Morant dunked on the opponent in College Greeny and we were starting the show? I stood at the board and told you Ja Morant was the real deal.
Yeah.
I stood by what I said. Memphis Grizzlies will get that eighth spot.
I'm going to lose a suit over this thing if things don't go the right way. We're going to get to that game in a moment, but let's start with the thriller between the Lakers and the Clippers last night. Fellas, here we go, and what a scene it was. After a 140-day layoff, the NBA returning, and as the national anthem played, every person on the court took a knee together. LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kawhi and Paul George. So the stars and the coaches. And then before the anthem ends, LeBron with the fist in the air. What a powerful image indeed it was. And so those were the moments before it began. And then the familiar with LeBron and the chalk toss and other NBA stars in the bubble there to watch. There they are. The commissioner was on hand. Adam Silver to watch the restart. And then the basketball began and it was glorious. Second quarter, Lakers up 9. LeBron, Kawhi always going strong to the hole, and he throws it down. LeBron quiet offensively. First half, just 6 points in the first and half. In fact, they would change shoes at halftime. Lakers up by a deuce. Just over 2 minutes to go in the third. Lakers down by 5, but it's Anthony Davis. You're going to see not one but 2 threes from Davis. What you won't see are the 16 foul shots he made in the game last night. Finished with 34 points. Lakers take the lead. Just over 4 minutes left. Clippers not going away. Kawhi. Danny Green on him. Kawhi stepping back. Knocks that down. 7 out of 16 up on the floor. Kawhi would score 28. Clippers within 6. Under 2 minutes to go. The Laker lead is 1. LeBron. Jamichael Green. Can't stop him. LeBron puts the Lakers back up 3. Just over 30 seconds left. Still that 3-point margin. Paul George. Look at him working hard. Defense all over him, but he finds a moment, and he finds a 3. He had 6 threes on the night. A team-high 30 were tied. Under 20 seconds to go. LeBron James, again, quiet on the offensive night, but this time gets his own rebound and puts it back up and good. Just 6 of 19 from the floor, but that one puts the Lakers up too. He had 16 points, 11 boards, 7 assists. 10 seconds to go. Clippers down by that bucket. And watch the defense from LeBron James. First on Kawhi Leonard. He can't go anywhere. Now Paul George, LeBron with the switch. LeBron's got George locked up, and that's going to be a tough shot. He's going to force it. It's not going to go. Paul George wants a call. He's not going to get it. And watch as we show it to you again. Look at the presence from LeBron. First, to recognize the switch. Out he comes, and look at this. LeBron taking the millisecond to look at the clock, see exactly how much time is remaining. Extraordinary awareness from LeBron James. A great defensive effort. And the Lakers hang on to win the restart by a deuce in a thriller.
The game of basketball has always been bigger than just the ball in the rim and 10 guys on the floor with referees. It's an opportunity to use this platform and be able to spread a lot of positive, a lot of love throughout the course of the whole world. We understand what's going on in society right now. And we're using this NBA platform as the players, as the coaches, as organizations to continue to stay strong on that. So this is a good start. This is a good start tonight. It's great to have the NBA back, and I hope our fans are proud of us tonight.
So much drama in so many ways. We'll start with the basketball piece of it here. And, David, I see the smile on your face because the two of you, I know, are going back and forth. You've got the Lakers and Jalen has the Clippers. And at least for last night, how do you, David, feel about the Lakers' chance? What did last night mean to you regarding the Lakers' chance of being the team to make the finals?
Last night was pretty concerning if you are with the Lakers or a Lakers fan. I mean, you have to remember the Clippers were missing Harrell, and they were also missing Lou Will. Those are a lot of production from those two coming off the bench, and they barely squeaked by the Clippers last night. That was concerning if you are a Lakers fan. He looked great, though.
That was the same take that Jay Will had earlier this morning. Jalen, do you agree that based upon who the Clippers were missing, last night almost felt like a win for them?
It's a win for me. Keep that same energy, David. You're the same individual that told me that Kawhi Leonard was struggling in the bubble from the field. You remember us having that conversation, Greeny?
I do.
On this program?
Yes.
He was really concerned. Well, Kawhi looked really good last night. And so did Paul George. They're going to be virtually unstoppable once they start playing together a lot more consistent. And also, you guys got all over me, you too, Greeny, about my MVP choice who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. LeBron was terrific last night at the end of the game defensively, but Giannis does that all of the time. Did you see Anthony Davis be a difference maker out there yesterday? He had over 30 points. He was the guy that was driving the narrative offensively. I love the Lakers. I love what LeBron has accomplished this season. But if I had to pick a team in a 7-game series versus the Clippers and they didn't have Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell, I feel better about my pick, Clippers.
I hear you. Let me give you the other side of that, David. Let me try and take the other side, Jalen, on that. And that is that the one place the Lakers seem to have an unquestioned advantage is Anthony Davis. And I had Charles Barkley on the show yesterday and Stephen A., and they were making the point that Anthony Davis has to dominate, that the Clippers don't have a matchup for him. And he shot 17 free throws last night and made 16. So to me, if you're walking away feeling good about the Lakers, Jalen, that's the reason why.
How much more you want him to score, Greeny? He dominated last night, and they barely won. He had 34. Anthony Davis is fantastic. I was the person on this show telling the world that he leads the Lakers in points, rebounds, blocks, and steals. As a matter of fact, if you want to go deeper in the box score, he leads the Lakers in 14 statistical categories. He's been outstanding. He's my first team All-NBA performer. And so, of course, you need him to be dominant. But you know who else you're going to need to be dominant? LeBron James. You're going to need him to score a lot more than he had, Greeny.
Yeah, no question. David, your thoughts?
The thing is, you bring up Anthony Davis. I'm glad you did, because it was clear last night there's absolutely no answer. They tried 4 or 5 different defenders on him. There was no answer. He was hitting threes. He stepped into a heat check three, 7'1". It was amazing performance from him, and you know that you're going to get more from LeBron. You absolutely know you're going to get more from LeBron. I think this is a very close 7-game series, and I absolutely still have the Lakers because the Clippers just don't have anyone that can cover Anthony Davis. It's simple.
Is that ultimately the difference? That he walks away feeling better about his Clippers. The first words out of your mouth this morning, David, were, it's a concern if you're the Lakers. Are you staying on the pick, though? At the end of the day, NBA Finals this year, Lakers
absolutely.
Or Clippers?
Absolutely. It's absolutely going to be the Lakers, without question.
Okay, so we'll continue that.
Patrick Beverley is a lockdown defender. He was not there. Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell equals 40-plus points. 40-plus points. They only lost by 2.
Yeah, the Clippers were no question missing a lot of people. Of that, there is no doubt. All right, let me get you to the other game. Let me get you to the Zion game last night, because this is the one that caused me an extraordinary amount of frustration. No. I understand it. Now, obviously, it starts with this, the extraordinary demonstrations before both games, both teams locking arms, taking knees together, and then the action would begin. And look at Zion. When he's out there, he's overpowering Royce O'Neal. And one, he would make the foul shot. Second quarter, watch him get a defender on his hip, and now he's rolling. Lonzo's throwing it up. Zion's throwing it down. Zion 6 of 8 from the floor last night. He had 7 at the half. Pelicans up 12, but he barely plays. He plays these little three-minute bursts. Now here's Zion running the baseline off a feed from Jrue Holiday. And now look at the spectacular play we're going to do. Just watch Zion Williamson in transition. Look at that in transition. Little lefty behind the back to Lonzo. Spectacular awareness. Pelicans are up by 8. Fourth quarter, the last you're going to see of Zion in this action here as he's taking it inside. He would sit the final 7 minutes and 19 seconds of this game. And in that time, the entire lead goes away. 14 seconds left. We're tied. Where's Utah going to go for a bucket? How ironic. It's Rudy Gobert. He winds up getting fouled with 7 seconds left. He makes them both. He would score 14. Zion still on the bench. Pelicans' last shot down by 2. Final seconds. Brandon Ingram not going to get it. Zion 13 points in 15 spread out minutes. And in the end, his team loses a tough one.
They weren't holding me back. I did want to be out there, but, we're just working my way back into my flow. That's all it is. It is frustrating, but it's not so frustrating because, I could easily, they could probably not even let me play, but I'm able to play, so I'm going to do as much as I can while I'm out there.
Now, the truth is the numbers on Zion overall, not so good last night, despite shooting a high percentage. The Pelicans were minus 16 with him on the floor. Entering the day, they were a plus 6 with him on the floor, which is easily the best of any player on the team. But Jalen, I will admit to having watched that game last night, and I'll let you get into it here, with great frustration. And Timmy Legler actually brought up an interesting point that if you're going to limit the minutes, the way they stretched them out, it was basically these three-minute bursts. It didn't make a lot of sense to Timmy. I found it frustrating. What did you think of the way, Jalen, they used Zion last night?
Not surprised, Greeny. The guy has had multiple injuries on every level that he's played basketball. He's a physical freak based on his weight and his athleticism, as you compare that to his height. You have to protect an athlete like this from himself. We have not seen a player like Zion. That's what we're enamored about, and that's what I've been trying to say. But here's also what I want to say. In actually watching the game, looking deeper into the box score, the coaching staff, in a lot of cases, probably did not even want him out there because they were not defending the paint well, including Zion. And you said he had 16 points. You did not say he had 0 rebounds.
Correct.
0 rebounds for Zion Williamson. And so as a young player, his motor's going to pick up, and that's one of the strengths of his game, and I'm not going to overanalyze a game in the bubble, but he will continue to improve, but that Pelicans team will be on the outside looking into the playoffs if they keep dropping games like this.
It was the first game in his career in which he had 0 rebounds, and the number there, he was minus 16, his plus minus, minus 16. How about the way they used him? What did you take away from all of it last night, David Jacoby?
First of all, Mr. I'm not going to overanalyze a game in the bubble. Just gave Giannis the MVP based on LeBron's performance last night. I just want to make that clear. And what I saw from the Pelicans
is just... I gave Giannis the MVP before the bubble started. I voted on Monday.
Go ahead, David.
The interior defense was just not there for the Pelicans. I mean, they were just driving right past them and then, up for Gobert for a lob. The defensive rebounding was not there. The first half, it just seemed like every time the Jazz came down the floor, they had 2 attempts at the basket. It just really, really, really feels like this Pelican team, while so fun to watch and has so much potential and so many young players, is not going to make the playoffs. I mean, they've got the Kings chasing them, the Trailblazers chasing them, and the Grizzlies are already in position. I just do not see it happening based on what I've seen so far.
Okay, and so, Jalen, let me ask you again. You know this is a source of extraordinary friction between the two of us. Do you believe Zion and the Pelicans wind up getting into the playoffs?
They do not, Greeny. So to start the bubble, the NBA understood in order to create intrigue, this is why I figured that they would have over 20 teams. Because if you look really deeper into it, the only thing that needed to get solved was the 8th spot in the Western Conference. And if you look at the strength of schedule of the Pelicans, it was really favorable. Zion was in and out of the bubble, wasn't able to practice. He wasn't able to ramp up. Therefore, his minutes were limited. But the Memphis Grizzlies also had a 3.5 game lead. And so if they're over 4 games, they're automatically in without a play-in game. That's why you're the Pelicans. You can't lose the first game in the bubble. So now to me, if you're Memphis, if you win 4 games, you're automatically in.
We'll have to wait and see what winds up happening. Guys, I have to leave it there. We will see you both on First Take later this morning, Jalen and Jacoby, and again, most afternoons on ESPN. But the reason that I'm running along here, we'll take a very quick break. We have major news from baseball, and I'm sorry to tell you it's not especially good. You can probably guess what it's related to. I've got that coming up next as soon as I can get someone in here to react to it. Plus this, Alabama looking like they will play this fall, but the tide is turning in college football. Paul Feinbaum thinks there will be fallout. You'll hear what he thinks in moments as we get up with you on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and I have breaking news, and it is not of the positive variety. This coming from the world of Major League Baseball, where another game today has been canceled, or at least postponed. The Cardinals and the Brewers is the game that's supposed to be played. And our Jeff Passan is reporting the Cardinals have had multiple positive coronavirus tests, this representing baseball's first positive tests outside of the East Coast. And Jeff Passan and Jessica Mendoza are live with me here. And so, Jeff, I will come to you. Jeffrey, I'll come to you first. For the very latest, what can you tell us about this that I have not just immediately shared?
Yeah, Greeny, listen, it is not a good situation right now. Major League Baseball had hoped that outside of the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies and everything that came from that, they were going to be able to isolate coronavirus positives. Clearly, this is not a disease that is isolated easily. There have been positive tests with the St. Louis Cardinals. The Milwaukee Brewers' home opener today against them has been postponed. Presumably, the rest of the games this weekend are going to be postponed as well as they see the fallout from this. And tonight in Major League Baseball, Greeny, a full 20% of the games are not going to be going on. This brings up questions about the viability of the season and about just how much Major League Baseball is willing to stomach in terms of positive tests and keep on going.
We're 1 week and 1 day since they began again. And as you mentioned, one out of every five games at this point being postponed. Jessica Mendoza, I'm just going to give you the floor here as we watch all of this and try and digest it and figure out what it means. What do you think it means?
At what point are we going to keep doing this and adapting? And I understand with Major League Baseball, they want to do everything they can to be able to continue to play the season. But now you start to look at where the Cardinals just were, because the incubation period to me is what's real. I mean, this is the part we saw with the Phillies, the biggest question marks because of the lack of contact tracing. St. Louis Cardinals were just in Minnesota. So now you start to look at the Twins, and they're going to start to get tested if there's any positive results that come out in the next few days from them. But again, it's waiting and not knowing. The Twins are going to be playing today. This is where it gets scary, because you don't know how, you don't know when, and because of that, you don't know where it's spread to other teams. And that, to me, as we start to see from the Marlins to the Phillies, and now as we look to the Cardinals and who they've played, and positive tests start to come in possibly, then we start to really think about, should these teams even be playing?
Jeff, what conversations do you know are taking place, as well as what do you imagine are taking place right now in the offices, the biggest offices of Major League Baseball, as we watch the way this thing has started? I don't know. I don't want to overstate it. It certainly is not going well. What conversations do we know are taking place, and what would we imagine they're talking about?
Well, Greeny, remember on Monday, Major League Baseball had its weekly conference call with owners, and this was during the immediate fallout of the Marlins mess. And they were steadfast, they were resolute in saying, we want to continue the season. And it's clear that MLB is willing to stomach a number of positive tests, but it's interesting that after the Marlins debacle, where they did not shut down, on the same day that they had three positive tests, in addition to one a day previously, that right now, with an unknown number with the St. Louis Cardinals, they are shutting things down. This may be the classic abundance of caution situation, but is there such thing as too much caution right now when it comes to baseball? Because the season is ever seemingly hanging on the precipice. And that is, again, where MLB finds itself now. And Rob Manfred and his lieutenants need to ask themselves the question, is this worth it? Because that is a question, Greeny, being asked around baseball in front offices right now. I just got a text from an executive with one of the teams involved today who said, very simply, what are we doing?
Well, that's I'd like to put that question to Jessica. Nick, I want to stay here. Nick, my producer, I want to stay on this. Jessica, what are we doing? I mean, at the end of the day, we talked about a bubble. Baseball said they couldn't do a bubble. For whatever reason, they said they couldn't do a bubble. It's no time to be relitigating that now. But the reality is, if you're just going to be flying these guys all over the country, trying to play in all these different places, interacting with as many people as you inevitably will, and living life as you do, the idea that this isn't going to run rampant at some point through every team in the sport is inevitable. So, Jessica, what are we doing?
Well, let's be real. They can do a bubble. They don't want to do a bubble. I think if you look at what took place in mid-June, June 20th, when they decided and we're talking about, and not just one bubble, but if you're going to have the West, you're going to have the Central, you're going to have the East. I remember the conversations were about Arizona, about Texas, about Florida. Again, these are hot spots, so it's not ideal. But look at where the NBA is in Florida. You take those three areas and create three bubbles for the West, for the Central, and for the East, and now they're not traveling. Those 10 teams in each location are playing each other. So you're not asking 30 teams with 30 players, 30 roster on every single team to go to one spot. You're asking them to go to three locations and stay there. That was something that was discussed. It's not something that's impossible. So when we say it can't happen, it absolutely can happen. Does Major League Baseball, do the owners want it to happen? It seems that they absolutely didn't when they made the decision back in June to not go with any type of bubble.
Remind us, Jeff, why didn't they?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It was because nobody really wanted to, Greeny. You know, when I first wrote the story about the bubble, it was early to mid-April or so. The reaction from the players publicly was absolutely not. And this was not all the players. This was a few stars. You know, Mike Trout, for example, who's now on paternity leave, having his first child, did not want to do it. There were a couple of others who came out. But don't just blame this on the players. The teams did not want to do it either. They wanted to play in their home parks. They wanted it to look like a major league product that they were putting on television. And honestly, they could have gone out to Arizona where, by the way, it was 119 degrees yesterday and 107, I think, at 9 o'clock at night and played those games there. They could have gone down to Texas. They could have gone to Florida. They still, I suppose, could, but the logistics, Greeny, that would have to take place to do so would shorten the season even more than it is right now. This is, in many ways, a failure by everybody involved. If you want to point fingers, you go around the room, you go, that guy, 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 and you wouldn't be wrong.
It's really well said. I have to leave it there. I'm up against the bottom of the hour. Thank you guys both. I feel your frustration. I share it. Have a good weekend. I'll see you guys Monday, and hopefully we'll have some highlights to actually watch and talk about. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. We have much more to do on Get Up this morning as we continue. They actually got to play basketball last night. They're playing these games without problems, and we'll talk about LeBron and Zion and everything else in just a moment. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and the SEC presidents and chancellors approved a 10-game conference-only football schedule for this fall yesterday. The first games pushed back to September 26th. Here was SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey with our Paul Feinbaum yesterday on the decision.
The adjustment to conference-only is about, we've been playing college football in this country for 150 consecutive years, well over 85 years of crowning champions in the SEC, and we want to make sure we're able to do that. And there are parts of it that we regret, but it drove our decision to have teams compete for a championship this year to the greatest extent possible.
All right, and we're getting coverage here. Heather Dinich, who, of course, is as inside on this as anyone. Paul Feinbaum is the voice of the SEC, and Ryan Clark played in the SEC. So, Heather, I'll start with you. What more can you tell us about all of the details involved in this decision and the impact of it?
Well, it's a significant impact, Greeny, and it starts with the four SEC-ACC rivalry games that will not happen. The ACC schedule was based to account for those, with the plus one non-conference game, Florida-Florida State, Georgia-Georgia Tech, Clemson-South Carolina, Kentucky-Louisville. So that's one of the things Greg Sankey said was regrettable. But another big impact on this that some people might have forgotten about is the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Executive Director Bill Hancock told me yesterday they're going to have to reevaluate their timetable for considering that for the meetings, because originally it was supposed to start on November 3rd, Election Day. But you can't just start evaluating teams if the SEC now isn't going to start playing until September 26th. And as you guys know, considering the top four teams, non-conference games are a huge part of the evaluation. And that's really not a part of the equation anymore for a lot of these leagues. So they're going to have to take another look at their protocol.
Right. A season unlike any other in so many ways. Paul, what's the most important thing in all of this to you?
Greg Sankey said yesterday, Mike, that they could not be ready to play. They couldn't play on Labor Day weekend. I thought that was significant. And the fact that they pushed it so deep into September tells me that the presidents on that conference call are very concerned about the season. I know that's not breaking news like you just had, but for the SEC of all conferences, the one that we originally thought would go it alone if nobody else would do it, is now looking like the most cautious. I talked to Sankey for quite some time yesterday, Mike, and it was a very sobering call. He's been a very upbeat, optimistic guy. I didn't hear any of that from him yesterday.
And clearly they're keeping an eye on what's going on with baseball, who have returned and seeing how badly mm-hmm. that has started. Ryan, I'm curious your perspective on all of this as a former player, as the father of a player, not playing in the SEC, your son plays mm-hmm. in the Pac-12, but still, as you watch and digest all of this, what thoughts do you have?
You start to think, how can you complete a season? When you look at baseball, the one sport that hasn't gone into a bubble-type situation, and the trouble that they already having a week into playing their sport. I mean, it just looks very difficult. And I live in SEC country still, and all you were hearing, and it's we aren't just excited that we think we have the best football. We think we have the strongest people. We think we can overcome anything. If anybody's going to do it, SEC football is going to do it. And now to see them back off, to not even have the ACC-SEC rivalry, it has to make people nervous and also to push the season back to late September. I've had some calls with some coaches and they were kind of already expecting this. But now that the world knows, now that it's public, college football really has to take notice and try to figure out a way, if they can, even on their own campuses, if it's use empty dorms, try to find a way to have their own specific little bubble systems to at least get players to the weekends as safe as possible.
And then there's another side of this. We've been waiting to see how many, if any, significant players, well-known players, would choose not to play. And one of them has made that decision this week. Virginia Tech defensive back, who is projected, I believe, to be a first-round pick in the draft, and that's Caleb Farley, announcing that he's opting out of the season.
Yep.
So, Heather, what more can you tell us? I'll start with you on this, Heather. What else are you hearing relative to players making that decision, which we're seeing in the NFL, we've seen it in some other places. What are you hearing relative to college?
Well, I think you could expect to see a handful of other players follow his lead, especially with ones who are considering, obviously, the NFL draft and a career. But the other thing, too, there's another perspective on it, and it's just the fear from players and coaches that comes along with the testing process. Ed Scott, the athletic director at Morgan State, told me that he has seen this. They shut it down in the MEAC. He had 12 positives, and he said there is anxiety before you get the test. There's fear from the players when you get a positive test result. And he said not enough people are talking about the mental health aspect of the student athletes and also the lasting repercussions of a positive test. He said people don't know enough information about that, and that's scary to some athletes, especially those who are considering pro careers.
Ryan, I want to come to you on that again. As a player, which in your heart, I think you'll always be, and as a dad of a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been extremely difficult because I think you look at it differently when it's you. When it was me, I would have played through anything. I would have made any decision to be on the field. But I look at it differently with Jordan. I am extremely concerned. I'm constantly talking to him about doing the proper things away from the weight room, away from the fields, away from practice, also staying on his teammates about that. But this is something that you just can't control, and you want to allow your child to make his own decision, but it's just a fearful situation. And so for us, we are talking about it daily. There are many parents on different message boards and different groups that we're involved in that continue to share information. But I think it's like Heather said, there's so much information that you just don't know and you're unsure about, which makes these decisions harder as well.
Well, what is your I'll give you the final word. What is your expectation regarding high profile players not playing? And at what point would it start to really compromise the validity of a season in your mind?
Yeah, I think if you saw somebody really prominent bow out, and Greeny, the boredom of the players is going to get the better of them. Last year, the college football season began with Florida and Miami on August 24th. This year in the SEC, September 26th. These players have already been there since Memorial Day weekend. They're going to get bored. And another thing is about to happen in 2 or 3 weeks. Students are going to be back on these campuses. And I don't care what any coach says. I don't care what any father says. They are going to mingle and party and disregard all advice. And then you have a more serious problem. And that's why they waited.
I second that. I am the father of one of those. And I agree that no matter what the best intentions of everyone are, the idea that all of these college students are going to practice social distancing at all times, I think is unrealistic. And so they'd better be ready in college sports for all of that. Guys, thank you. Outstanding work. RC, I'm coming back to you in a couple of minutes. But again, if you're just joining us, breaking news into ESPN. Tonight's game between the Cardinals and the Brewers has been canceled due to a positive test, or perhaps postponed, hopefully, is the more accurate way to put it. But that game is scheduled to be played in Milwaukee. We don't know what the status of the rest of the weekend series is to be there, but it is just another example. Again, as we speak, 8 days after the baseball season began, 20% of the games that were scheduled to be played today will not be played. Jalen and Jacoby are back with me here. And guys, I enjoy your perspective on all these things. David, I'll just start with you. As we watch what, I don't want to use the word disaster. That feels like it's overstating. I mean, it's baseball games we're talking about, but this is something they wanted to get done, and I can't imagine how it could have started worse than it has. What is your perspective on where it stands right now?
Well,
I look at what baseball and what's happening there, and then the postponing games and positive tests and even transmission between the Marlins and the Phillies. And this is in a sport where you are already social distance when you are not standing at home plate. And then I turn my eye to the NFL. And if I'm the leaders of the NFL, we're having meetings right now. We're talking about how, when, and where we're going to play our games. Because the win is important. Push it back. The where is important. Why play games in states and cities that are hot spots? And the how is important, too. Testing, testing, testing. I really think that this tells me that the NFL really needs to reconsider their plan moving forward.
Jalen, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts, and I've been saying this the entire time, Greeny, I don't see how Major League Baseball and the NFL, when their season starts, feel like they're going to be immune from society. Okay, in the United States of America, the coronavirus is real, and we don't know the lingering effects. So we're saying people that tested positive, but we don't know the lingering effects of what that's going to have for them long term. So basically what we're doing is non-essential workers, i.e. athletes, have decided, based on the love of their game and the opportunity to play and get paid, they're willing to take that risk. And so WNBA, NBA in a bubble, NHL, Hub City, Major League Soccer in a bubble. Dana White is getting Fight Islands, Greeny, to put on his events. For these two sports to not realize that they are not getting closer to a champion based on the science and how it's taking place, I think you're going to pop breaking news up on the screen in 3, 2, 1, and it's going to say the Major League Baseball season is canceled. That's what I believe is going
to
happen.
It's the last thing in the world I want to do. I've said from the beginning of this that I'm going to be optimistic because it costs the same as being pessimistic. But at some point, you have to be realistic. And, Jalen, I want to ask you from the standpoint of a player. I mean, the NBA has done this so well, and they're down there, and there's no positive tests and all the rest of that. And, you know, golf is such a different sport. They can manage this stuff so differently than others can. And you mentioned the WNBA and the NHL and the MLS. But if you were a baseball player or you were a football player, and the circumstances were what they are right now, would you play Jalen Rose?
Michael Greenberg, I'm going to say this in a different way. So I like to gauge success off of realistic expectations, okay? And if every NFL and Major League Baseball player were billionaires, they would not be taking this chance. They would not be taking this chance. Life changes when all of your bills are in your name. These are professional athletes, and those zeros behind those checks are real. You do not want to sacrifice them if you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, I'm an athlete. Of course, we feel some level of confidence. We feel like we're in shape. There's some level of invincibility. So, yeah, I'll figure it out. Whatever happened to the Marlins, that ain't gonna happen to me. That's just the irrational confidence that we have to do what we do. But the sacrifice that they're making is ultimately not just for the love of the game. They're doing it for the love of their profession. If I had enough money, so if it was later in my career, I would opt out. Early in my career, I'm trying to get the check.
David, let me give you the final word here. What are your thoughts on where this thing goes from here?
I think Major League Baseball needs to not cancel the season. I think they need to suspend the season, reevaluate how they're doing things, more testing. And I really think that they should not be playing games in cities and states where the coronavirus is spiking. We all know where those are, the Texas, Arizona, California, Florida. Those teams should just be playing road games moving forward. But they should really just pause and reevaluate and get a 100% negative test before they restart.
All right, here we are 8 days into the season. We're having conversations like that. Guys, thank you very much. We'll see you later today and have a great weekend. If I don't get a chance to talk to you, we will take a short break here. Again, it's a very busy morning. But coming up, we'll have some fun. Only from the fruitful mind of Ryan Clark can we get Joey Bosa, Joe Kelly, Russell Westbrook, and more. RC explains his tweets. Next. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet.
I can't even do it with a straight face.
It's been too long since we've done this. Ryan Clark is the best follow on Twitter. But every now and again, I need a little explanation of what it is he's talking about. So we have a few for you this week. Ryan, here comes tweet number one. And it begins with, Lord, 135 M's? Kids, rush the passer. Trust me, it pays off if you get really good at it. Ryan, explain that tweet.
Man, look at Joey Bosa's deal. Listen, this is the biggest defensive deal in the history of football, and that's following Myles Garrett doing the same thing a couple of weeks ago. We all know that quarterback's the most important position in football, but getting to him is the next important, and these dudes are getting paid. So if you are young, if you think you're going to be over 6 foot, if you feel like you can put some muscle on, don't go wrestle. Don't go fight MMA. Don't go do none of those things. You put your hand in the dirt and you get you some pass rush moves, because these dudes are getting paid, and they can say whatever they want about CBAs and negotiations and holdout rules and this and that. If you can get to the quarterback, create forced fumbles, turn the ball over, you're going to get rich just like those two dudes did.
I love that one. All right, next tweet. I think it's funny to watch a skinny dude with glasses taunt grown men like a 12-year-old. Did he hit anyone in the head? Even really come close? He certainly broke unwritten rules of message sending, but he's also a major league pitcher. He's more precise than that. I think I get this one, but Ryan, explain your tweet.
Hey, man, I'm just talking about Joe Kelly. Did you see dude walking off the field? First off, he's like 146. Then he got the glasses on, and the way that he's taunting people, it's not necessarily a dope. Right, you just threw at these dudes' heads and you like, right? And what the best part about it is, very much like his weight, he decided to slide behind all of his homeboys as the teams faced off. Now, listen, COVID-19 out there, I didn't want to get close to the Astros either in that way, but if you're going to taunt people, if you're going to do all this, man, you got to stand up. And listen, Alex Bregman is an LSU guy. And so there was a lot of people here that were upset about the message he was supposed to send, saying he didn't do it the right way. But they got to know that this is coming, and you got to walk your tail to first base or be taunted by a guy who looks like he could be in class with your fourth grader.
Okay, one more. My guy Russell Westbrook is number one. It's not even a debate. Favorite player by a long shot. Oh, I like that one. RC, explain your tweet.
It's not even close to me of who my favorite basketball player in the world is right now. And I pick basketball players weird. I was obviously a Michael Jordan fan growing up, but I didn't have a choice in that. He was the best and greatest player that's ever played the game. And you know how I feel about Kobe Bryant. And now Russell Westbrook, to me, has that same type of vengeance every night. He wants to go out and take your heart every single night. And he's going to be down in the bubble where you have to bring your own energy. Who brings more energy than Russell Westbrook? Who wants it more each and every night? And so this looks like it's going to be a tournament of number twos. The Rockets have the best two in the league, and that's why they're going to win the NBA Finals.
Ooh, Ryan making the big prediction on the back end. I like it. We will see them tonight, by the way. They'll be on ESPN tonight. Rockets and Mavs. Doris, earlier with us this morning, says she's got the game tonight. So we will see your guy, RC, tonight right here on ESPN. You were the best. Have a great weekend, Ryan Clark. Thank you, my man.
My man, have a good one.
All right, and then there is this. We take a moment because Harvey Updike died yesterday at the age of 71. He was an Alabama football fan who was most known for being convicted of poisoning the famous Toomer's oak trees in 2010. He actually called into Paul Feinbaum's show to tell that story when he did it.
The weekend after the Iron Bowl, I went to Auburn, Alabama, because I lived 30 miles away, sure. And I poisoned the two Toomer's trees.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I put Spike 80 DLF in them.
Did they die?
Do what?
Did they die?
They're not dead yet, but they definitely will die.
Is that against the law to poison a tree?
Well, do you think I care?
No.
Okay, I really don't.
Okay.
Roll damn tide.
Paul Feinbaum rejoins me. You and I have talked about this moment many times. That moment sort of put your show on the map in a different way. It expanded the significance of your show, I think, for a lot of people. What are your thoughts on hearing the news that he died yesterday?
Well, naturally, Mike, I mean, you're sad, but I mean, this was someone the likes of which I have never encountered. Harvey Updike's dog, Mike, was named Nick Saban. His oldest son was named Bear. His second daughter was named Crimson Tide, T-Y-D-E. And he wanted to name his third child Allie, A-L-L-Y, Bama, but his wife finally said that was enough. He was consumed with Alabama. I asked him once when I visited him in jail why he did what he did. And he said, I did it for Nick Saban. I said, what do you mean? He said, because they stole a game from Alabama. He was talking about the Auburn game in 2010 that Cam Newton led Auburn from behind, three touchdowns behind at Bryan Denny Stadium. And he felt like Cam Newton should have been ineligible. And he went to his death yesterday thinking that he did that for Nick Saban. Of course, a lot of people at Alabama wanted nothing to do with him after that, and you can hardly blame them.
For those who don't remember it or weren't aware of it, those trees did die, yes, and as you just mentioned, he went to jail.
Yes, those trees died, and Mike, it's hard to explain to people, but those trees were the most iconic thing to Auburn fans. They rolled them after wins. People were in mourning. This went on for weeks after it became public. So this was not a small thing at Auburn. It was a very big thing, and it will be remembered for a very long time.
Again, Harvey Updike dead yesterday at the age of 71. Paul, thank you for the recollections. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mike.
I will see you next week. We will continue here on ESPN. He wasn't at his best all night, but LeBron was great when the Lakers needed him most. Stephen A. Smith will tell us just how important that win was as First Take gets underway in 6 minutes right here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by USAA, proud supporter of the military community. What you're made of, we're made for. I think we all need a little fun right now.
Let's just try stuff, right? That's what we're doing.
I feel like I'm Ron Burgundy right now.
I'm a big guy, I love to eat.
Life is so good.
Michael Greenberg, yes. Please allow me to chime in.
Please do.
Nuh-uh. I'm not foolish.
You gotta do better, man.
Orlovsky, you gonna be okay through this?
If this was not a pandemic, I would give you a hug and you would cry into my shoulder.
Just put on Frank Sinatra and let it ride and let me have my glass of red wine.
I had a little tequila that night, nothing wrong with that.
When you pour up tequila, that means you happy. You about to have party.
They ain't gonna bust a grape in a fruit fight and pour milk on stew.
Oh my God.
I'm being told Chef D wants to jump in on this.
No, let Lewis go. I have my own ideas. Let Lewis go.
Okay. He not only breaks all the stories, but he produces the show as well as anybody does. I was going to come to Woj, and obviously, as you can see, boom, that little sign that says TVU, by the way, just in case you're wondering, is not good.
You know, Maurice Sheen can only see out of one eye. That's the eye that's got Dr. J in it. So if Dr. J is on the scrape with you, you're not going to get the ball. I call him one-eye Maurice Sheen.
That may be my new favorite moment we've ever had. What a line that was from Barkley yesterday. He only sees out of one eye, and that's the eye that had Dr. J in it. It was a fun week. We thank you for being with us every single day here. And again, the news is not always good. We bring it to you. The baseball game postponed today. Cardinals and Brewers, they've got positive tests in the St. Louis team. We'll see where it all goes. Obviously, the coverage will continue all day long here on ESPN. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you back here same time, same place on Monday. But the conversation continues with First Take right now.